This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, April 20th. Well, the wheat market's certainly tagging along with corn and soybeans, or at least trying to catch up. Yesterday was a similar situation with corn and beans leading the way higher, but wheat didn't close all that well. It started out hanging in there, but it had more of a mixed close. Minneapolis, too, putting in a new high for the move, but not closing all that well either. But still, you're hanging in there with the wheat space, finding support from spillover from corn. Some concern about weather issues in the southern plains. Dryness, of course, is part of that, but also some cold temperatures moving there, but we don't expect to see any freeze damage. Crop condition ratings continue to show kind of a mixed bag. In Kansas, we're at 16% poor to very poor. That was as of yesterday afternoon's report. That is unchanged from last week, and good to excellent is at 55%. That is also unchanged. Oklahoma's at 9% poor to very poor, 70% good to excellent. So looking pretty good in Oklahoma. Not so much in Texas, where 36% is poor to very poor, and 28% is good to excellent. Montana seeing some nice improvement. Poor to very poor was down 3 at 12%, good to excellent at 63%, that was up 5. Nationwide, winter wheat crop conditions were at 17% poor to very poor, which is unchanged, and 53% good to excellent, that is also unchanged. Spring wheat plantings are at 19%, that's 7 points ahead of the average. Montana's at 15%, that's 3 points ahead of the average. North Dakota's at 13%, which is 8 points ahead of normal. Corn plantings at 8%, that is equal to the average, and soybean plantings at 3%, just 1 point ahead of the average. So we don't see, you know, serious delays. The market is a little bit concerned about the cold weather sticking around for the next couple weeks, and that's going to then start to push things back as far as plantings. But, you know, we don't have flooding, we don't have rain issues yet at this point. In fact, they'd probably welcome a little rain in the western Midwest and certainly across the northern plains, where it is dry, dry, dry. The topsoil conditions are looking pretty rough in across the north. Montana's at 61% short to very short, and subsoil's at 64% short to very short. North Dakota is even worse at 78% short to very short on both topsoil and subsoil. So they've got a long way to go to catch up for moisture. South Dakota, not much better, 58% short to very short on topsoil, but 69% short on subsoil. And Iowa too, you know, topsoil is 29% short to very short, but subsoil is 42%. So, you know, we see this drought encroaching into the western Midwest, especially in those key states of Minnesota and Iowa. Texas is at 60% short to very short on topsoil and 62% on subsoil. Wyoming, 56% short on topsoil, 66% short on subsoil. So just a snapshot of where we are, but you know, this has been a situation that has been developing for months, you know, ever since last summer and into the fall and through the winter. Very little snow across the northern plains. And of course, this goes up into the Canadian prairies as well. So we're on high alert for drought conditions across the northern plains, very well entrenched, but on alert that would encroach even more into the western part of the Midwest. The eastern Midwest looks fine. So it's really the western third, you know, northwestern quarter or so of Iowa that is in pretty dry condition. So, you know, producers would prefer to be planting into moist soils, but if not, they'll dust it in and then we'll see what we get. But this is definitely worth watching. You know, the planting intentions were not near what the market expected or wanted to see. Now you start shaving off some yields, and that's especially in Iowa, obviously, the biggest producer of corn, that becomes a problem very quickly. And to start off with, this is not just a U.S. issue as far as corn supply tightness. It really started in South America, and it continues on now, with Brazil getting their second season crop in a good month late, really, and this is going to push it back into the normal dry season, which appears to be developing even maybe a little bit early. So of course corn just trying to get started here in Brazil, but it's going to be well into the dry season, it looks like, as it's pollinating, and that poses a huge problem because that is the corn crop that gets primarily exported, and those supplies, you know, the demand for that corn that would be there will shift over to the United States. Well, we've already surpassed USDA's projections for corn exports, and we're almost double of last year. Corn ending stocks are already tightening significantly. So this, you know, it's very likely that exports will continue on a strong pace in corn, that our ending stocks will continue to tighten significantly as we work through the end of the marketing year. And then if you throw a little weather on this crop, again, you don't have the planted acres that we expected to see. It's a situation that could explode very quickly. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, that said, the technicals obviously are pretty overbought. Corn and beans have continued to trudge higher, especially corn, just inching into new highs, especially on new crop corn, almost every day, just slowly chugging away. You don't have a blow-off top type of action. I felt that this would be the last leg up, at least for an intermediate term after the plantings report, and I still think that. I do think we'll get more of a correction before you start any kind of a weather market, because if it's an open planting season, you'll likely get more corn acres planted anyway. So we'll just have to wait and see how this goes. Back in 2012, you know, the market rallied all the way up into the 1st of May, and then it sold off through the whole month of May, and then it was June and early July that it took off to the upside. So there's plenty of time for a weather market to develop. Technically, again, we're pretty overbought, and want to be careful about getting too ahead of ourselves here this early in the growing season. But it is shaping up to be one stellar, epic battle for acres, and that's kind of what we expected, especially after we saw the plantings report. But we just knew coming into this season, looking at even Brazil's production and some of the problems that they had, that, you know, demand was just insatiable, and China's gobbling up way more than they normally do, and it's not slowing down. So, and our own ending stocks are very tight. It's just simply a case of the market is not going to be comfortable with supply until you get past pollination, and that's late July for corn and early August for soybeans. That's a long way away. So I think that we're going to be still continuing up in our long-term uptrending market. That doesn't mean you won't get corrections. And of course, as you enter into the growing season, which we're just on the cusp of, that would portend probably some pretty significant volatility as we work our way through the growing season. For wheat, we're well into the growing season, of course, in the Southern Plains. And again, crop condition ratings look okay for the most part. Drought conditions have largely subsided throughout Kansas and Nebraska and even Oklahoma. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the case for Colorado or, of course, or Texas or Wyoming, obviously Montana. So we'll likely see some yield declines across the Northern Plains for winter wheat, but we're going to be starting harvest here in about a month, really, in the far Southern Plains. And that's going to, I think, keep a lid on things. The rest of the world, of course, looks okay. Not stellar, but okay. Decent moisture across, much of European and the Black Sea region. Little dryness that has developed in France and Germany, so of course we're watching that. But you got record winter wheat plantings in Russia, so we're keeping an eye on that as well. And southern Russia, of course, is where they had their production problems last year, and they still ended up with a record crop. So it's pretty remarkable. And then, of course, they've got even more acres planted from last fall. So, you know, a couple timely rains, and you're looking at a massive crop coming out of Russia. So far, they have backed away from another record season, but they've started to ratchet up production prospects just over the last few weeks. Now, cash prices over the weekend reported around the world are all higher. Russia FOB offers are up $12 a ton at 242. Ukraine was up $10 a ton at 235. Here in the U.S., soft red was offered at 277. That's up 10. And hard red winter at 284. That's up 12. That's out of the Gulf. France was up 5 at 240. Argentina up 4 at 260. So everything's got an updraft to it coming into this week. And again, some of that is based on corn, but just huge feed grain demand coming from most notably China, but around the world as well, and just very tight feed grain supplies. And some of that, of course, is because of corn, but wheat feeding is certainly on the uptick, and that just supports the entire complex. So we're still in a long-term bull market. I think that we are looking at probably a correction coming here in the row crops once we get well into the planting season and we feel comfortable that we're going to get the crop in, the market will back off. But we're still looking at Brazil. If Brazil gets a timely rain, that'll certainly take the edge off of the upside for corn. But I think longer term, that crop is in trouble. We're just not going to get the production that they would have expected. You're going to see more demand shift over to the United States for old crop corn, of which we have a pretty tight supply. And we cannot afford any supply disruption or yield declines for old crop or new crop, for that matter, in corn or soybeans. And that lights a fire under those markets. And of course, wheat will tag along. So interesting developments. Again, still in a long-term demand-driven market, and it's all about weather now for the next 2 to 3 months, and it should present some volatility and some opportunities. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.